Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think the choir deserves a round of applause. I think that was very good. Awesome. Amen. Such a blessing. Amen. You know, in fact, Brother Sunday Soul sang this morning. Like Pastor Ewa was saying, I knew that something was moving when the dance steps of people changed. People I don't see. You know, some people stand like the Rock of Gibraltar. But today, even Toby, she moves, so, but today the move was different. Then you just saw certain moves. Even the musicians, the guys playing here, they were struggling to be able to stay still. I said, Brother Sunday was causing something. Amen. Hallelujah. By the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Go with me to Matthew chapter 28 this morning. Matthew chapter 28. So I think it's a good thing. Amen. It's a good thing. Matthew 28. Sorry, you can. Matthew 28 from verse 18. Are you there? Have you found it? Matthew 28. I believe there's something after online worship today, right? So you can watch the choir online. They will have a worship session that will be available online. I'm not sure they want audience per se. But if you are here as audience, you want to stay, fine. But be quiet, Abby. As much as possible. Don't sing too well if they are here, because the spirit will move them. Amen. You know, but it just means don't talk, you know, too much. Don't sing. You can sit in there and enjoy the music. They will want the sound to be pure, you know, from the choir. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 28, are you there? I read from verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What I see in there is that we have a command. We have a command, of course, as we can clearly read, to go preach the gospel. But I've titled what I'm saying this morning as marketing the gospel. Because what I see is some marketing. So those who are marketers in the church or wherever will understand or appreciate where I'm coming from. And even those of us who are marketed to some extent will also appreciate where this is coming from, you know, as we go along. But what Jesus was telling us here was largely about marketing. He was saying, go, preach that gospel and make disciples. The word disciple is from the word discipline. So he was saying, make people who are disciplined after the same order, people who live the same way as I have lived and I'm teaching you to live. So you go now and make disciples. You know, and what that means is that you are going to, in quote, convert, but it's a little beyond convert. You are going to get people to imbibe what you believe. Can I have an amen? And that's the ultimate aim of marketing, is that somewhere along the line, you ingest what the person is saying to you. You know, somebody was talking yesterday about how you get these text messages and all of that. And then suddenly, one day you are thinking of, oh, can I buy something? And the first thing that occurs to you is the text message you received. So the marketer succeeded in their endeavors by pushing that message across to you. There are several, over the years, there are several marketing gimmicks and songs and rhymes and whatnot, or maybe videos on TV that many of us remember. You did not try to even remember them, but you remember them. You know, there's a song that keeps coming to me. It's, who knows that one? Brother Ewa Arakan. Sister Ewa Arakan. You don't understand what that, eh? It kills cockroach, it kills mosquito, it kills insect with one leg, you know. But the idea is that, you see, no matter what it was, I remember it from over 30 years ago. I can still remember how that was marketed. It's just an insecticide. Are you hear what I'm saying? So somebody pushed across the message. I believe the same way God is saying was, we need to market the gospel. It was an atheist that said to William Booth, William Booth is the founder of Salvation Army, an atheist said to William Booth, he said, if you Christians believe what you say you believe, that is the Bible, Jesus died for our sins so that we can gain heaven and lose hell. He said, if you believe what you say that you believe, he said, then you will crawl on broken glass just to tell one person about the love of God. You will cross on broken glass just to tell one person about the love of God. That's how desperate, that's how convincing you will be. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And too many of us take it too lightly, what the gospel is, that makes people to question, like that atheist question, William Booth, it makes people to question what we really believe. You know, Karl Marx is the founder of communism. And every time I think about communism, I'm thinking to myself about two nations. I think about Russia, or in fact, the old USSR, and I'm thinking about China today, which is the main nation in communism. And I'm thinking to myself, somebody believed enough in order to convince billions of people who still follow it. So no matter how what we think about Karl Marx, no matter what we think about Joseph Stalin, don't worry, those who don't know history, as I'm saying that, I just wonder, what's he talking about? Those are the people who pushed communism. No matter what we believe about them, no matter what we think about them, they were good marketers and they marketed their product well. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, Adolf Hitler was a great marketer. He marketed Nazism very well. Yesterday, I was still watching the news and they showed some people who were selling t-shirts in Germany that says, I love Hitler. So they claimed, they said, no, that they did not say Hitler because they removed the word I and they removed E. So they just wrote, I love H-T-L-R. But everybody, of course, knew straight away what they were talking about, because if you talk about narcissism today, it's virtually a crime in Germany and perhaps globally. So they did not put that there. They said, so you can't arrest us. We didn't say so. But I'm thinking to myself that somebody who caused a world war based on an ideology he came up with, and people till date, despite all threats and all of that and how illegal it is, people till date still follow what the man said. How much more the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you here this morning? You see, one of the first things about marketing a product is that you think about the product itself. You think about the product itself. You know, sometimes I've seen when people come around and they're doing politics and they're trying to market a candidate, I'm thinking to myself, this candidate is too bad. There's nowhere to start from. In fact, on a junior political level, when we were in school, when I just entered medical school, they were trying to run for the Medical Students Union. So there was this old, like we would say in the bigger world, you know, old recycled politician among the medical students who came to campaign to us to be the president of the association. But then there was this newbie, this guy who had never done anything, had never been involved in the association, but I think they were just rising up to say, look, some of these guys are recycling themselves and they're just doing whatever they wanted. So they brought up this new guy and they said this guy should run to be president. And the old guys, of course, will campaign against the other guy. They will campaign and talk about their own experience. I've had experience. I've been this, I've been this, I've been this. They said, look, you know, so we are selling you experience. But the other guy shows up, and I was a new guy in the school. I didn't know anybody before, but I saw both of them coming at different times to campaign. And I watched this first guy. He came and he told us about everything, and I saw this newbie show up. And the newbie was very smartly dressed, spoke very smoothly. The other guy his English was, you know what I mean. It goes this way, this way, this way, this way. he was shooting bazookas. And his dressing was rough. So I looked at both of them and I told somebody, I said, you know, whoever they call the president of the association is representing all of us. In an ideal sense, he should be the best of us. If anybody sees him, he should be like this. It's like a sample of a product. So if I pick one, you know, it's just like when you say, oh, just test one. If the one that you gave me, if you're selling granite, for instance, somebody says, can I taste it? If there's a bad granite inside that whole bunch and he throws the bad one in his mouth, he's not buying your granite. How many people know what I'm talking about? So I looked at this guy and I said, no, I don't know any of them. I said, but this one looks like the kind of person that should be representing us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we need to look at it and understand that we have a product that is sellable. But I'll come a lot to the product later. Beginning from the fact, let me start from the fact that our walk with God is twofold. Our walk with God is twofold. One is to walk with God, to know Him, be close to Him, understand Him, but it doesn't stop there. The second end of it is that we need to share Him with other people. Can I have an amen? The statistics are appalling when people start to ask about believers who have led other people to Christ before. The statistics are not very encouraging. And that is why that atheist said what he said. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But if you really knew Him, and that's why the progression is that when you know Him and you know what He has done in your life, the next step is that you share Him with other people. But whether you even feel like that or not, it is required. Can I hear you say it is required? In Mark chapter 3 and verse 14, Jesus was speaking, or rather the Bible says, but he appointed 12 that they might be with Him and that He might send them out to preach. It's the same pattern you'll find all through the Bible. He appointed 12 that they might be with Him. He wants relationship. He says, but beyond the relationship also, He wants to send them out that they might preach. In Acts chapter 9, we know the very popular story of Saul of Tarsus. The Bible says that he was on his way to Damascus, and as Saul was moving on the way to Damascus, going to persecute Christians, there shined a great light from heaven, the Bible says, and he fell to the ground. Again, people ask whether people fall in the Bible. The Bible says there arose a great light in the skies, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice that said what? Saul, why art thou persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. And then the next question was what? What will you have me do? The progression for the believer is that, Lord, who are you? You first want to know who He is. The very next step is, what am I supposed to do? Please look at your neighbor and say, what are you supposed to do? So we need to start looking and start asking ourselves, what mission has He got for us? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 makes it very clear. And I'll take us there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 17, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, that's where most people stop. If the intention of God was just for us to get a flight ticket to heaven, then when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we will pass away peacefully in our sleeps. There's no plural for sleep. But I accept it. Amen. So if the intention of God was just that you and I will get saved, and then once He can catch us and save us and snatch us out of the hand of the enemy, He will just kill us. And then we can go. So automatically the question arises, why am I still here? Why has He left us? Because He left us here because there are more people that need to be saved. So after He said, look, behold, all things have become new. Verse 17, He went on and verse 8, He says, and all things are of God, and He has given us what? The ministry of reconciliation. And then in verse 20, He says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now then, we have a job. Our job description is that we're ambassadors. Basically, that's another word for marketer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the real job of an ambassador. It's the job of a marketer. He's looking for who to sell his country to, sell his country's products to. I remember someday we got a letter, you know, in our office, and it was from the ambassador of Argentina to Nigeria. And the man says, you know, me and my boss, he says, look, whenever you're around, can we meet? When you're in Abuja, can we meet? And went there, and the guy spent all the time telling us about Argentina and how he feels that there should be a collaboration between the scientific community in Argentina and that in Nigeria. A friend of mine in the UK who's a doctor said he was in the UK. He said he went to get a visa, you know, Canadian visa. And he said it was the strangest thing ever. He said because the next thing he knew, they left the visa talk and started marketing Canada to him. They just started telling him, why don't you go to Canada? Why don't you move to Canada? Why are you just visiting? We can give you multiple visas. Why don't you move to Canada? Because they wanted doctors. They were marketing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible says, now then, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ. Our job, our daily mission, why we wake up and wake up every day, is so that we can share the love of Jesus Christ with others. Can I have an amen? Amen. If, you know, when people feel like the day you feel you are done with the mission, then you are ready to go. You know, Elijah was running. He was running from Jezebel. He felt I'd been prophesying, I'd been running God's mission, I'd been doing what God asked me to do. And then Jezebel threatened his life and said, look, God, kill me, or God, whatever it was, if your head remains on your neck. And the man took off running and he told God, he said, look, I'm done. I'm done. I'm the only one remaining for you. Everybody has followed Baal. I'm the only one who is serving you. He said, and I'm done and all of that. And God said, you are wrong. There are 7,000 more that have not bowed their knee to Baal. But now that you say you are done, he said, go and anoint a new king for Israel and anoint Elisha in your own place. Because when you are done with the mission, it means that it's time to go home. Are you still there? I'm going somewhere. There's a reason why God left you here. It's so that you can market the gospel. Can I have an amen? Are you still there? And like I said, the marketing begins with the product. You know, if you have a bad product, there's nothing you can do. I'm sure Mr. Sadir knows what I'm saying. If the product is bad, speak all the English you want to speak. Say everything you want to say. It's a bad product. We can't, you know, so there was a time people were shouting, you know, let's buy what made in Nigeria. Let's buy made in Nigeria. There's a particular product. I don't want to call the name. You know, and they started making, this product is international. They started making it in Nigeria. And I remember the very first time I heard about it, you know, I'd seen it and I saw it made in Nigeria, but I'd never, you know, never touched it, never tasted it, never did anything. And then one day I went to visit somebody and he said, oh, take for your children. I said, really? He said, well, actually my children can't stand it. I said, really? Then the next time I heard somebody else say, we can't stand it. I said, but it's the same brand. He said, no, this one is a disaster. This made in Nigeria one is a disaster. Now, what that means is that no matter the investment in that product, no matter how much they try to get us to take that product, from then till now, it is a taboo in our house. From the package alone, once they see the package, my children see the package, they will ease. That's the end of the matter. You have wasted your money. Are you still with me? Not to say that every made in Nigeria product is bad. In fact, there's a particular one that I like. That if I send anybody, I tell them, look for, there are two types you'll find in the supermarket. I said, there's one with this kind of cover, there's one with this kind of cover. I said, this one with that particular color of cover is made in Nigeria. That's the one you should buy. Don't buy me the other one, which is imported. So it's not as if everything is bad. But I'm just saying that if a product is bad, it's not marketable. So the first thing about that product is, what is this product and what can it do? We need to know what product we're carrying. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Paul was speaking about it in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, Paul? He said, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power. The reason why I'm not ashamed of it, the reason why I market it like I do, he said, it's because it's the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ because it achieves salvation. When you see the word salvation in the New Testament, it's a big word. It doesn't just mean the salvation of the soul. It means redemption in totality. It means salvation of your body, so healing of your body. It means salvation of your pocket, if I may put it that way, because Jesus Christ died for all of those things. Can I have an amen? Go with me to Luke chapter 4. I think that will clarify some of that for us. We need to know what this product is. You know, every time I think about Romans chapter 1 verse 16, I keep thinking to myself, the power of God has never failed yet. And the gospel is the power of God that achieves salvation. Glory to God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Listen to how Jesus put it in Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, having just come down from fasting and all of that, Jesus arrived in the temple. He took the book. He found where it was written in the book of Isaiah, the Bible says. And in verse 18, he read out of that place. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me." This is a gospel. This is a description. He said, "Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." What will be the gospel to the poor? It will be that, hey, you don't have to be poor no more. Are you still there? He said, "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Another translation says to proclaim the time of God's kindness. The gospel is multifaceted. It is powerful and achieves all of those things. Gives sight to the blind. It sets the captives free. It has the power to achieve all of these great and wonderful things in the lives of people. Hallelujah. You know, so when I got saved and ultimately, you know, began to preach the gospel, I was very young. And there were people in the neighborhood and they would laugh. By their own admission, because I was told later. You know, said he would laugh, and you know that I'd always been called Setman till Setman became my name. Became nickname, became name, became everything. You know, so if you just say Setman, most people know, okay, that's who they're talking about. So he said, that one day, so this lady sat down and was telling me, she said, you know, one day we're talking about you. I told me the other person in the neighborhood, he said, you passed by, and then that one was telling her that, you see that one? We don't know what's wrong with him. He's just preaching, Jesus, 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 Jesus. They call him Sardine or something like that. So I laughed at her and I said, since then you have become Sardine like me. I mean, whatever happened to me has happened to you because you have received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. Listen, all you need to think about is what it has done for you. All you need to think about is how that gospel has transformed your own life. Then you will understand when it says it is the power of God unto salvation. Are you the same kind of person you used to be? Do you think the way you used to think? Do you think that you are living a superior lifestyle according to Isaiah chapter 55 that says that my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways? God says my thoughts are far above yours. So when we get saved, when we receive that gospel, it's the beginning of rubbing minds with God. Your perspectives become God's perspectives. It's the power of God that achieves salvation. The product is good. Can I have an amen? The product is amazing. Are you still there? You know, if you look at the kinds of people that have been saved, I was reminding them recently in Nakure when I was preaching. I was talking about, you know, a gentleman, man pass. I've told the story here before. I was in 100 level, and we went to do tutorials, and we're coming out of a place in the evening, and you know, everybody, so many people crammed into one place and trying to come out of one door and climb down the stairs in the University of Ibadan. Then, and this guy pushed me, and I just complained, you pushed me? Why are you pushing me? And then the guy just locked my shirt, as we call it. He locked my shirt and held me and pulled me down. We got down the staircase and he said, "I'm going to deal with you. I will deal with you today." He was taller than I am, bigger than I am. In fact, now I have some more flesh. In those days, I didn't have any flesh. You know, and this guy stood tall, he towered above me and said, "I will deal with you today." So I said, "You were pushing me. What do you mean you deal with me?" He said, "You don't know me. You don't know me. I will take you to my room. I will put you under my bed and beat you all night." I didn't know him. But people knew him and they started begging him. Me, I did not know. And they called him Manpass, short for Manpass Man. Apparently, he was one of those professional students. He had been in the university for some years, changed from one department to another, from one department to another, you know. So he was not my mate by any reckoning. I said, "I will deal." You know, so eventually, I mean, at some point, I had a ruler in my hand. He broke the ruler and all that. So I looked at this guy with holy anger. You know holy anger? How many of you have had holy anger before? There's nothing holy about Yeah. So I looked at the guy and I said, mark my words. I spoke like Professor Isaiah. I said, mark my words. That paper we just went for, you will fail. So I'm writing it down. And the guy began to shake. He said, he cursed me. He cursed me. Everybody after that, I came back. He said, he cursed me. He stopped talking about anything else. He cursed me. He cursed me. He cursed me. So I stood there. I was looking. I said, hey, no wonder Jesus says my words are spirit and they are life. This word is now troubling him, you know. And he left me alone. But the good part is that eventually, I repented of that. God rebuked me, you know, and all of that. I repented of it. But ultimately, man passed, God saved. God born again, radically saved. And I'm thinking to myself, only the gospel saves people like that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Only the gospel. There's a guy also, I mean, he's an evangelist now, who is known to have been a notorious armed robber. Only the gospel saves people like that. There's another guy, I'm hoping someday maybe we'll have him here, who used to be with Fela Nicola Bokuti. He's a pastor in this city now. He's one of his main guys. And by the leading of God, the day he comes, he will share his testimony. You will see the power of the gospel. This guy has beat people up who set up for crusade. He said he beat them up. Collected all the instruments, chased them away. Rebeating, they ran. Insomuch that when he got saved, he said he looked at the tract he read in a hotel room where he had gone to just swallow drugs and all that, hoping that he would die. He said he found the tract, he read it, he looked at the back, he saw the name of a church. He looked at the address, he went there. He said he found the pastor, he spoke to him and told him, I want to get saved. And the pastor took him in. He said people want the pastor. And said, you don't know the person staying in your house. You don't know that. He said, he saved, okay, that one. But that's the power of the gospel that saves people like that. How serious was Manpa's salvation to me that I knew? It's because, look, Manpa said to know where he was coming from. Later on, he was doing evangelism. And he preached to somebody. And as he was preaching to this guy, the guy said, hello, Jesus, with Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. Manpa said, yeah, Jesus. Why? He just whacked the guy's face. My Jesus. Why, my Jesus? That's what, evangelism by fire. Are you with me? Aggressive marketing. But it tells you where he must have been coming from. You know what I'm talking about? But that is the gospel. The gospel. Listen, another time people came into the place. I think they were Lumba or Lumba. Manpa single-handedly chased all of them out of the University of Ibadan. One man. Single-handedly, he marched them out of the campus. Out! And he followed them to the gate. Out! So you will know what kind of person he was and the great deliverance that the Lord gave me at the time that I did not know. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But the gospel is the power of God that achieves salvation. As a matter of fact, we're talking about Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was not just an unsaved person. He was a persecutor of the church. His job was to find the Christians. Paul of Tarsus was the Boko Haram of his day. The head of it. And that's why he said, hi, who am the chiefest of sinners? I'm the same one that God has saved today. He's the same one who can sit down and write 2/3 of the New Testament. That is what the gospel can do. I'm talking about the product that we are marketing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It doesn't matter how far gone the sinner is. It doesn't matter how notorious he might be. It doesn't matter what you think about them. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Can I have an amen? So you need to know. You need to have a good product, and we have a good product. Thanks be to God. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. The Bible says that it is the word of God is called the incorruptible seed. Incorruptible means that it cannot be corrupted. It means that if it is planted, that seed will always germinate. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Our job is to plant the seed. That seed has inherent within it the ability to germinate. Never let the face of a person scare you. Never let their background, their story scare you. Know that the product that you are marketing is strong and potent and incorruptible. Are you still with me? Number two, you need to know a lot about the product. The more you know, the better. I've seen people before who came, you know, marketing something to me, and I started asking questions. I was asking questions. And the more questions I asked, the more confused the marketer looked. I was asking questions about what he brought. Can he do this? What does he, what happens with this? What happens if the power is like this? What happens is, and the guy was just looking more and more confused. The more I asked questions, so I laughed. And I said to him, "Oga, you have homework to do. You need to know about what you are selling. Are you still there? You and I need to know. We need to know as much as we can about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to find, the more we know, the better." Can I have an amen? You know, in the book of Acts, the Bible says that Philip went, he preached in Samaria, and then God translated him, and he found himself beside the chariot of an Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading and reading aloud. Apparently, he was reading from the book of Isaiah. He was reading about a lamb being led to the slaughter. And as he was reading it, he was reading aloud and wondering to himself, what is this? And then Philip came, found himself beside the chariot of this Ethiopian, and Philip asked a question. "Sir, understandest thou what thou readest?" You know, some, I told you some of those things only in King James, you value them. So basically he says, "Sir, do you understand what you are reading?" And then the man said, "How can I understand except somebody interprets it?" And then Philip came onto the chariot, and the Bible says, beginning from that scripture, he preached Christ unto him. Beginning from that scripture. So the more you know, the better. Philip was able to take him from where he was, take him from the scripture that he was using, take him from his place of confusion, and begin to preach Christ to him. So the more you know, the better. Can I have an amen? You have an assignment to do, which is to market the gospel. It will be beneficial also to study the Bible. Are you with me? Well, listen, let me give you the flip side of that coin. Because somebody will say, "Well, you see, that's why exactly why I'm not preaching yet, because I don't know, you know, I can't quote the Bible like you. I can't, you know, I don't know so much of it. So that's why I don't preach to anybody." No. I'm only saying the more, the better. The more you know, the better. I'm not saying that you cannot preach. In John chapter 4, there was a Samaritan woman. She didn't know much. She didn't even know anything, actually. All she knew was her experience with God. Jesus had come to the well. Jesus met her at the well. Jesus began to speak to her at the well and said, "Give me water to drink." The woman said, "I'll give you water." And Jesus said, "Look, how will you give me water when you have nothing to draw with?" And then Jesus began to speak to this woman, and he said, "Well, go and call your husband." And the woman said, "I don't have any husband." He said, "Well, you have spoken well. You have had 5 husbands, and the one you live with now is not your husband." And then the woman said, "I perceive you're a prophet." And Jesus continued and spoke to her. And the Bible says that afterwards, she got up and she ran away. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Let me show you what I'm saying. Or rather, John chapter 4. John, the 4th chapter. So the flip side, because it's important to make that point. The flip side is that you can still preach the gospel. You can still market the gospel, even no matter what you think you know or don't know. At least for sure, what you know is your own story. For sure, what you know is your own experience of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your experience of God is valid anytime, any day. Can't be taken from you. Hallelujah. John chapter 4. And let me. Sorry, I wanted to find the verse where she first spoke. Okay, so look at verse 28. The Bible says, "The woman left her water pot, went away into the city, and said to the men, 'Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?' The Bible says, then they went out of the city and they came to Jesus." Okay, look at verse 39. It said, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him Why? Because of the word of the woman who testified, saying what? He told me all I ever did. So all the woman was using to preach was what? He told me all I ever did. All she was telling them was I experienced. I encountered him. This is supernaturally, he knew all about me. And that's all she was telling them. And that was enough for many to believe on him. After they met him and he spoke to them, the Bible says many more believed. However, some had already believed. Are you still there? Many more will believe the more of the word you know. But some will still believe with the little that you know. One of the reasons why we share testimonies is for evangelism, is to market the gospel. It's one of the reasons why you can't keep your mouth closed. You tell people, this is what happened to me. This is who I was. This is who I used to be until I got saved. Are you still there? Oh, this is what Jesus did for me. I used to have this kind of condition. I used to have that kind of condition. But when I met him, he touched me and made me whole. That is valid for marketing. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. Number three is that you should believe in the product that you market. So number one is the product has to be good. Number two, you should know much about the product. Number three, and that's probably where I'll stop this morning, you should believe. Can I hear you say believe? You should believe in the product that you market. There's something about your conviction. In Mark chapter 1, verse 22, they said, the people were struck by Jesus because he spoke as one with authority and not as one of the scribes. You know, lately, the word scribe can be used, I think, in two or more ways. One is that actually in maybe modern parlance, the word scribe is somebody who writes down, takes notes. Okay, so writes down on behalf of the person who knew. So if you are a cleric of whatever sort, you are only speaking and saying what supposedly God told you, and then you have a scribe who is writing down what it is. Now, the difference is that when the scribe comes to talk, he can't talk like the person who said it. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when the scribe is sent to go and read, I think Isaiah did that sometime, when he sent a scribe to go and read what God has said, and God had promised them war in that land. And when the scribe went there, I think it was Baruch, if I remember correctly, when he went there and he read the thing to them, the king was so upset. And they wondered, where is Isaiah? But Isaiah didn't come himself. He sent the scribe. You know, so the scribe would just read. Thus said the Lord. There's a difference from if Isaiah himself had showed up there and the way he would say it. What's that difference? Is that conviction? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is that conviction? How we carry ourselves, how we speak, how we market that gospel, the conviction with which we do it, tells a story about the product we're marketing. In Philippians, I think, chapter 1, verse 28, it said, in nothing terrified of your adversaries, which to them is a message of their destruction and of your own salvation. What does that mean? It means that you're not being terrified. People come against you and all of that, and you are calm. Your calmness, even in situations, is a conviction. It's born out of conviction, and it sends a strong signal to everybody that there's something this person knows that I don't know. There must be something genuine about this. Again, when I was in the university, you know, early on, I had this, asked several people. Actually, my 100 level, I made up my mind. I said I didn't want to stay with anybody I knew. I didn't want any friends around me. I wanted people who were not saved. I wanted to be put in a room by chance. You know, we could have gone together with some friends, and then we'll go and get a room that we were entitled to together, so we'll be roommates. But I told myself, I said, no, I didn't want to do that. I wanted people who were not saved around me. I wanted them to see the way I lived. I wanted us to have some engagement. And one of the guys one day, you know, in fact, this was even a backsliding believer. One day said to me, he said, look, is it possible I go with you to pray in the morning? So I said, why? He said, there's just something about how you get up in the morning and you go without fear. You know what he's saying? He's saying that you are sending a signal to me that there is something real about that God. Something that I'm missing. Something that is lost to me. Because if you will wake up every morning like this dutifully, then there must be something you know that I don't know. Are you still there? We will talk about how we market the gospel some other time. But your conviction about that product sends a strong signal. Are you still there? I've traveled with somebody before, an elderly professor, and the man was talking. So, I mean, every opportunity I get, I declare with conviction. It doesn't mean I'm shouting. It doesn't mean anything, but you will see the confidence. Why? I know whom I believed. Are you still there? I know whom I believed, and I know he's able to keep that which is committed to him. So this day we're traveling. We're going to Italy. We had a meeting. And we were, I shouldn't mention names, so I don't demarket them. So we're on this airline. And the man began to lament. Say, this airline, it's very bad. I said, sir, what's the problem? He said, this one, every time I fly this airline, they lose my luggage. I said, sir, the luggage cannot be lost. You know, you can imagine, as very calmly, very relaxed. I said, sir, our luggage cannot and will not be lost. It will get there. He said, no, you don't know what I'm saying. Every time they have not failed before. I said, sir, you have not traveled with me. He said, but I've even looked at it. We are going to change planes in one place. He said, and the time of that change is very short. He said, so these people that are very useless, there's no way they will do that right. I said, sir, this time you are with me. The thing we cross, our bag will get there with us. Why? Because I knew I was sending a deliberate signal to him that there's something I know. There is something, and many of them know, you know, they know me as a pastor. There's something I know. And what product I'm dealing in is potent. Are you still with me? You know the first thing that happened, interestingly, when we got on the plane went, in fact, when we got on the plane, even me, when I looked at that plane, I said, the plane itself looked like plane that I saw in the early 80s. I said, I didn't know they still fly this kind of plane. International, wow. And then the plane took us and they had to drop people off in Ghana. So when we landed in Ghana, some people came off and apparently somebody took the man's jacket. This was in the dead of winter. This was, I think, around December of that year. And they took his jacket and took it away as the guy got off the plane. So, you know, because faith works. When you have faith in negative things happening to you, they happen. So by the time we arrived in winter, he had no winter jacket. His jacket had been taken away. And then when we got there and we stood and the luggage came out, the man said, I can't believe it. I said, but I did tell you that our luggage will come. And he said, my jacket. Are you still there? Nothing terrified of your adversaries, which to them is a signal of their perdition or their destruction, but of your own salvation. How convinced are you of this product? Are you still there? You see, one of the things that I get stirred up when people start speaking, for instance, and they say, I say, what is I? Because if you know the product, are you getting what I'm saying? If you know what you believe, you know who you believe, you know how potent the Bible is, then the message is clear to everybody. Can I have an amen? We have a world to win. A whole world to win. Matthew 28, he said, go into all the world and preach or make disciples of every nation. We have a whole world to win. But if we win that world, we'll have to know and handle the product that we have arrived. And that product is absolutely worthy of that kind of marketing. Can I have an amen? Let's stand on our feet. You know, we prayed it. I knew, because God always orchestrates things. As we prayed, the last prayer point we had this morning before the service started was about this. If you were here, you recollect, was about this. So I knew God was saying something. Pastor Enwai spoke along those lines when he welcomed us. I want you to speak, begin to talk to God. John chapter 15, verse 16, he said, "You did not choose me, I chose you. And I chose you that you might go and bear fruits, and that your fruits might remain." He's saying, "I chose you. I found you." Not that you found the Lord. The Lord found you. The Lord wasn't lost. You were lost. And the Lord found you, and he found you for a purpose. I want you to pray this morning and pray it every day and say, "Lord, help me. Help me to stay conscious of my mission, of my function as a marketer of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me to stay conscious of it at all times and sensitive to your spirit at all times, because there are times when the fruit is hanging, is ripe, and is around you. But there are certain fruits that if you don't know the fruit, you won't know when it's ripe. You'll just be looking at it on the tree, you won't know. So you tell him, help me to be sensitive to know when it's time and the fruits are ripe for harvest. I know who to speak to. I know when to speak. I know what to say." Nobody in your vicinity should die and go to hell. Nobody. Nobody that has had any significant time around you, lived next door to you, went to school with you, stayed in the same neighborhood or whatever, has a shop next to you. Nobody like that should die and go to hell. They should have enough experience of that gospel to drive them to their knees and to call upon God to get saved. We'll talk about how, you know, next time. We'll talk about how. All of us have to know how and do it. Lord, I'm available to you. Lord, I'm available to you. My will I give to you, to do what you say. Use me, Lord, to show someone the way and enable me to say, my storage is empty and I am available to you. I don't know if you have needs here this morning. Let me just pray for you. If you have any need of any kind, physical healing, favor, money, whatever, let's pray and agree together. He's a God of wonders. The only one who does wonders. He's a God so near that when we call upon him, he hears and answers. And if you are praying that, put your hand on your chest where you are. Father, we join our faith together this morning. We ask that you do that which only you can do. You, the desires of every heart is clear and open before you. And you said to call upon you, and you will answer us and show us great and mighty things we do not know. So even this morning, we ask that you do the miraculous. We ask that you do the incredible. We ask that you do the awesome. We ask that you go before us and make our path straight and smooth in the name of Jesus. Thank you, because sickness and disease dissolves even now. Yeah, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Thank you, because the scriptures make it clear that you confirm your word with signs and wonders, miracles, and various distributions of the Holy Ghost. So shall it be now, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we give you thanks because we believe it's done. Whatever it is, we believe it is done. Thank you, because your hand is not short that it can't save. Neither is your ear deaf that you can hear. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Are you here also this morning? You need to make peace with God. See that you've never been born again. Maybe you're also watching online, never been born again before. And what is that? It means you believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose that you might be justified before God. But you've never done that. The Bible says that with the heart man believes, but with the mouth he speaks unto salvation. You will have to believe with your heart and speak it out of conviction to be saved. All that call upon him shall be saved, the scripture says. So if you've never done that before, put your right hand on your chest where you are as I pray. And if you've done it before, but right now you are just unsure of your walk with God, you are unsure of where you stand with God, you are unsure of your salvation, and you want to be sure, then put your right hand on your chest also right where you are. And just say, Lord Jesus, I accept you this morning as my Savior, and I accept you as my Lord from now henceforth. I believe you died for my sins. You rose also that I might have peace with God. I receive that sacrifice of yours, and I confess that I'm saved. Amen. Father, thank you for everyone praying that. Thank you because they are saved according to Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. Thank you because you have saved them and you will keep them and present them whole on that day, spirit, soul and body, in the name of Jesus. Give you praise, we give you glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.